Good day. I'm Mary Agnes Carey, and this is Health on the Hill. Congress is preparing for a hectic fall where a 12-member panel will debate ways to cut federal spending. Medicare and Medicaid are expected to play a key role. Over the next few weeks, we'll be talking with former members of similar panels who have considered sweeping changes to entitlements. With me today is former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who participated in a Medicare commission in the late 1990s and in the creation of the Medicare Prescription Drug Program. Among the many hats he wears now is as a member of the Kaiser Family Foundation's Board of Trustees. Thanks, Senator Frist, for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you again.
Great. One of the debt deal has created a super committee of 12 lawmakers. They're going to try to get compromise on spending cuts and revenue increases. Now, there have been many of these commissions before. You certainly served on one of them that have had similar recommendations, but Congress hasn't followed them. What do you think the panel is going to be able to reach agreement on, and will they be able to reach an agreement?
You know, I'm back in Nashville now, as you know, and one of the advantages, like many of your viewers, is that you're on the outside and you're looking at Washington saying, what in the world is going on there?
A lot of people are saying that.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
But people back at home understand, I really think for the first time, compared to almost 15 years ago when I was on the Medicare Commission, that the greatness of America, our standing in the world, the quality of life we live, the American dream, does depend on how we handle this debt. And that depends on how we handle entitlements. And the entitlement, and this is what's important for everybody to understand, is that the entitlement that matters the most when you look out 20 years, 30 years, in terms of increased spending is health, is Medicare, is Medicaid. It's hard to deal with. Congress has shown that it hadn't been able to effectively deal with it. But I think they've got a shot this time because the American people get it. The greatness of America depends on the debt, depends on entitlements, and that depends on mainly Medicare, Medicaid, how we handle that. Thus, I think the American people are primed to pay attention to the debate, to support what recommendations come out, debate it hotly, but support it this time around, take it off the political table, and say now is the time to do it. And part of it was because of the chaos here in Washington. They're ready.
But what about this automatic trigger that kicks in if they don't get an agreement? Does that create additional pressure for this committee to act?
Well, yeah, it does. It does. And I think there have been several efforts. The administration made one through the IPAD, the Independent Payment Advisory Board. Somebody besides the 535 people, more than 35 in Congress and 100 senators, somebody has to take a leadership position on making recommendations, take some of the political heat, make the recommendations and have them supported. So I think the IPAD may or may not be successful. I think 535 people all throwing in their favorite programs and how to cut and how to restrain is not going to be effective. So this intermediate ground this time around has a shot. And we saw it work very well with the base realignment closing after the Cold War, closing down the bases. Up or down vote. Can't amend, can't play politics with it. That's the model we're following. We don't know if it's going to be successful, but I think this time around it does have a shot.
But if it's not successful and you go to this automatic sequester, the cuts, is a 2% cut in Medicare, while it's supposed to hit the providers, not the beneficiaries, what does that mean to the program? Will beneficiaries be hurt if they cut Medicare 2%?
I think if the current program is not reformed at all, and we're just squeezing harder the doctors and the nurses and the facilities themselves without any change, ultimately the recipients will be hurt in a way. And I think if those cuts are being made, which may or may not be unreasonable, slowing the growth, we call them cuts here in Washington, I think they can be made, but it means we're going to have to change the system, not just keep the system as it is, because that, in effect, I think, is cutting beyond the bone to the point that it would hurt recipients themselves. But that's if the BRAC proposal does not work. So that's really a hypothetical. I think we need to make what Congress and the President have come up with work, and we need to all get behind it at this point.
You say people are ready for change, voters might embrace this. What sort of Medicare changes are they ready for? Your panel, lots of commissions have talked about, raise the eligibility age, create a premium support model. What will America sign on to, in your opinion?
It's interesting. I think that in the past we kind of put a bucket in there and we put all of our favorite cuts or programs in there. Well, just the two things you mentioned. Yes, I think America realizes that when all these programs were designed, it was with an age of 60 and people were dying at about age 60, and now they're living to 75 and 80 years of age and the programs are still designed to kick it at 60. They get it today. They get it. And I think that will be one of the proposals. Very slowly, you know, a month a year for 10 years, 15 years, but that's not enough. Premium support, a model which is on the table, which is kind of demonized today. Paul Ryan put it out there, and Republicans kind of have run from it, and Democrats. Yet it is one of the specific recommendations that the very Medicare Commission that I was on now almost 15 years ago, or a little over 10 years ago, recommended. And yet it ended up being tabled by the president, in essence. But it's a new model. I'm not saying it's necessarily the model itself, but that new way of thinking, I'm very hopeful, is something that these 12 will come up with, and not just trying to go with the same old cuts that we've tried in the past.
What about Medicaid? What do you think's in store for changes on Medicaid?
I don't think very much. I think in the past, there's been a reconfiguring of formulas themselves, how much the federal government's responsible for, how much states are responsible for. I think Americans understand, especially in these tough times, that the program which looks at the most vulnerable in society is one that we can't cut too far. So I predict, I'm on the outside, I'm not in government right now, but I predict that most of the focus is going to be on Medicare. And if you look at the projections over the next 25 to 75 years, it is not Social Security that has the increased spending, and it's really not Medicaid, but the projections are in Medicare itself. And that's where I expect the policymakers, or the 12, or the committee, and the American people to put most of the focus. And the good thing is, you don't have to hurt the beneficiaries. You don't have to hurt the recipients. And I would argue that they need to be protected today. But you can't overpromise. And you can't basically say, we're going to get a lot for nothing in the years ahead. And that's something that we have all, Democrat and Republican, done in the past.
I'd like to close with a question. You mentioned it in your remarks earlier. A lot of Americans are looking at Washington, what's happened this summer, and say, what is wrong with that place? How would you answer that question?
It has gotten increasingly polarized, and people blame it. Everybody says it's you, it's the media, it's having to raise money. I think the American people are fed up. And I know that they're fed up. And I think through media like this, and new media, social media, the internet, that the American people will be able to respond more directly. You won't have to rely on special interests making the case. And therefore, I'm very hopeful as we look ahead that this sort of, you know, liberal, conservative, or Democrat, or Republican, at the end of the day, people say it's okay to be that way, but we need to have civil debate in between the two. It's demanded by the American people, and because of the internet and the Facebook and the social media and cable, I think that that is going to bubble up and cause change that Washington doesn't yet see.
Well, we'll see if that plays out as you envision. Thank you so much, Senator Bill Frist.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Thank you.